Start a new series of messages. Papa John Speaks. Besides making a pretty decent pizza for a national chain, Papa John writes powerful, short letters to the church. And this morning we're going to begin a study of Papa John's first letter to the church. The Bible calls it 1 John. It's a church that John cares about. And he wants to stabilize them on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ because there's been some things going on in the church that are making people uncomfortable or nervous. And so John speaks to them. One of the writers that I read in preparation for today called 1 John, quote, a gateway to the New Testament, presenting the deepest truths in the simplest forms. And I hope you find that as we take this journey through John's letter. So what I'd like to do is begin by reading the first four verses. That's what we'll look at this morning. And then we'll pray. Just hear these words. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Pray with me. God, I pray that as we sit with Papa John, as we listen to his words of wisdom, his encouragement, that we would have a tremendous sense that you are with us. And that as he talks to us this week and in the weeks to come about what he knows to be true, that we would take it into our own lives so that we too would know it to be true. I pray this in the name of John's Savior and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if we were going to unwrap this letter, let me begin with just a little bit of background. You know, whenever you pick up a letter, whether it's from, you know, someone, a family member who's written to you, you know the background, you know the person, you know the situation. And I just want to give you a little bit of that, not much, but a little bit of that as we take our first steps into this letter. The letter is officially anonymous. There is no name attached to it like there often are. But the general consensus throughout church history from the very earliest days is that the author was John the Apostle. And that's why it's listed as 1 John in our Bibles. It seems that this was one of the last books written that we have in the Bible. John's Gospel and the three letters of John, John 1, 2, and 3, were probably written in the final decade of the first century. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. So, 85, 90 AD. Jesus died around 33 AD. So it's been 50, 60 years since Jesus' death. Paul's writings ended around the year 60, 64, 65, when he was martyred for the faith. So it's been another almost 30 years since those first letters of the New Testament. Now, I share that because that tells us a little bit about John. He's had years to live the gospel, years of leading churches towards Jesus Christ, and years to marinate all the things that he witnessed. And he's able to kind of distill them down to three short letters. And so what we're going to get as we read these letters are some of those key elements that Papa John, I like to think of him as kind of the grandfather, in a good way, the godfather of the family. And he's kind of calling the family together. And he's saying, here are some things that hold our family together. This is what we believe. This is what we are building our life upon. There's one other piece of background. It won't show up so much today, but it will next week, and it'll be scattered throughout the letter from that point on. And that is that the church he's writing to has gone through recently some kind of division or split. All we know is that certain people from the church left. But they not only left the church, it's not like they left the Presbyterian church and, you know, went across town to the Methodist church or something like that. They really have left the faith. They have begun to say, we don't believe this, that, or the other thing, and we believe this. And what they believe is a distortion of the gospel message that Jesus taught, that the apostles believed and died for. And so what John is doing as he's writing this letter is he's also cautioning them against certain errors and a faction of people that will want to draw them away from the faith. And so again, his emphasis is going to be to go to the core. He's going to talk a lot about who Jesus is. He's going to speak about the core value of the church, which is to love one another. And what does that really mean? Is it just words that we say, or is it how we live? And he's also going to talk about the fact that though imperfect people, we strive to live for God. And when we fall down, God will pick us up through confession of faith. In fact, most Sundays after our time of confession, Ange will quote a verse from 1 John that we'll look at either next week or the week after. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that, you are absolutely right, Sarah. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And that's a core of our faith, that though imperfect, God always welcomes us back. And we'll see how that other group distorted that when we get there. I'm going to read our text again, but I want to give you a prompter first. I want to plant a thought. Where in your life have you seen or heard or experienced God at work? Now, that might be in your specific life, or it could be in a broader context. Maybe you've seen it in a family system. Maybe you've seen it in some of your travels. Maybe you've seen it somewhere in the world. But where have you seen God's activity in this world? You, me. So just think about that for a moment. Replay a few of those videos in your mind. As I read the text again, you'll probably sense why I prompted that question. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Just notice the words seen and heard. Now, I didn't highlight other words like looked at, touched, appeared to us. The Christian faith is rooted in historical reality. Jesus Christ, the Word of life, is not a figment of someone's imagination. He was not made up by some group of people to foster a faith that they wanted to present. He is someone that those originals saw. They listened to Him. They touched Him. He was a real person. Our faith is rooted in history. And even before Jesus came, God was at work through God's first people. God really did lead the Israelites through the sea out of bondage to their land. And Papa John is trying to remind the people that in this crazy day where some people are saying, no, it's not like that. No, we can't believe that any longer. No, we just can't go there any longer. He's saying, wait a minute. We didn't make this up. This isn't just some human idea that you can flip into the trash or you can recolor in a different way. It has historical facts because we saw Him. We heard Him. We watched what He did. We saw Him the day He stretched out His arms. We heard from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. And it changed their lives. And He lives from that fact forward. Now what hit me about these words and this thought is that John took the time to recall his faith. He spent time in his life, we don't know how much, but he took those memories and he kept them fresh. We've all lived a bunch of years. We've got some teens who have lived, 15, 16 years in this room. If Paul Wood were here, we have people who have lived 90 years. You need to keep your memories fresh. How much of your life and your experience has kind of, moved into that shaded area? Yeah, I sort of remember that. But what John does with faith elements is he keeps recalling them, bringing them from the past into the present of his mind so that they're not lost, but remembered. When was the last time you sat down and took 5 or 10 minutes and just thought about the ways God has touched your life throughout your life. When was the last time you really just sat and remembered what God has done? Again, for you, for your family, for your system, for this, for that group, whatever. You know, when you prepare for something like this, at least it, for me, it's like, oh, you stop and you think. In 79, I was finishing my master's thesis. And I was getting near the point where I needed to write up my thesis in order for graduation. And when I plotted the data points for my thesis, I mean, it was frightening. I really thought I was going to have to write a thesis that said, you know, it didn't work. And that's a valid thesis. You can have a, you know, an hypothesis that doesn't show out. But, I mean, it wasn't a shotgun. I mean, the data was all over the place. I won't explain what I was measuring, but it was in materials engineering. It had to do with welds. And I sat down one day and I couldn't believe that it looked this bad. And I remember distinctly praying that day and saying, God, you know, am I missing something? What's going on here? Before I went to bed that night, I had this thought. The basics of my thesis was I was measuring the amount of hydrogen that would come out of a weld. The thought as I went to bed was I wasn't paying attention to how big the piece was, what the volume of the weld was, and I was just plotting the data. So one weld would put a figure here. Well, you don't need to know the technical thing, but when I factored in the volume, this like super wide shotgun, you know, with one or two outliers, it became a rifle shot on a bullseye. And I believe God inspired that thought in my mind, partly in response to the prayer, partly in response to the gifts he had given me to be able to analyze and think through things. But God showed up in that moment. And you should have seen the smile on my advisor's face, because really it was his project. I'm a master's student, so I'm the grunt doing the work. It's his thesis, his idea when that happened. And surprisingly, when I wrote up the thesis the next year, my findings were awarded the most important article in welding that year for 1980, because it revolutionized how they could test for hydrogen in a weld. But I really believe God had a huge hand in that, giving that moment of inspiration. So again, I go back to you. Where have you seen God at work? Where have you seen the Lord at work in your life? It's fun if we can grab those few moments and just recall where God's been at work. Now, next slide. John recalls his faith experiences. Go to the next one, please, Russ. John not only recalls it, he retells his faith experiences for the benefit of other people. And here I notice the word proclaim. Now, don't get too nervous about that word, because sometimes we think proclaim means you have to be doing something like I'm doing now. You got to stand before a crowd and, you know, shout it from the rooftop. But the word simply means to report or to announce, to relate it, to make it known, to declare it. You can proclaim, use that word, you can proclaim it by standing in front with a microphone and broadcasting it. But you can also proclaim it when you sit around the table at dinner at night and say, you know, I saw God do this today, or I was remembering back a number of years ago, you know, when God did this in our lives. It doesn't have to be something huge or big or grandiose. It can be those little conversations that happen throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout life. Now, John, because of his role, he is the final surviving apostle at this point. He's an old guy who's nearing the end. And so he's trying to say to his people, hey, here's some things I want you to know. Maybe someday we'll get there. We'll be the Papa John or, you know, Mama Mary in our family. But until then, we can tell one another what God's doing. I wasn't here last week, but Pivot was here. Sounds like it was a great day. This note was handed to me. It was put in an offering envelope by one of the guys at Pivot. All I know is that he's a new believer from another religious background and has recently given his life to Christ. But listen to this note. Father God, thank you for all the prayers you've answered and all the prayers you will answer, God. And when I say all the prayers, I mean you have answered all underlined prayers. Not on our time, but on yours. I love you, Lord God. Thank you. It hurts me, God, that I have no money to put in the basket today. God, here at the Presbyterian Church of Old Greenwich, I don't know your will, but I ask my prayers and you'll answer them on your time. I do have my prayers and I pray for PCOG. I felt so good from the time I walked into it until now. A feeling of peace that I know, God, that you are here today. May this church continue to grow and grow, God, to make people everywhere feel what I feel right now. I ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. How's it make you feel to hear that? Seriously. I mean, doesn't that just encourage you? Doesn't it make you feel good that somehow last Sunday, your presence here, if you were here, created an experience for this man that touched him as soon as he walked in the door? That's what he said. I don't know the way you greeted them. I don't know if you talked to him. But your presence made an impact in his life. And by him telling you, I'm absolutely certain you're encouraged by that. And see, that's what happens when we tell God's story. When we talk about, just in the midst of life, things that God has done, what's going on, where God fills a gap and meets a need or creates a divine appointment or whatever it might be. When we tell those stories to others, that same kind of encouragement can flood not only into their lives, but bless the person who says it. See, that's my point, is that it's not just John who recalls his faith experiences and then retells his faith experiences. John is giving us an example to live that way too. Again, you may not write a letter that's going to be broadcast around the world, but you may say something to a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a son, a daughter, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a grandpa, a grandma, about what God has done in your life that will speak volumes to them because of the encouragement it gives. So I encourage all of us to take some time each day, each week, whatever works for you, and just recall what God has done. Go as far back as you want and stay as current as you want. But remember those touch places where God's imprint showed up in your life. And then as God opens doors, share that with others. Now, you know, I tend to think of that as like seasoning meat. You know, when you season meat, you put a little seasoning on. You don't unscrew the lid and dump the whole thing there. But season conversations with those recollections of what God has done. And then if people open the door, go with them. And if not, move on. But it's good to tell and retell what God has done. Within each and every one of us in this room are storehouses full of God's faithfulness. Let's not keep them bottled up for tomorrow. Let's crack the cork and enjoy some of the stories today. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Papa John. Thank you for what he saw and heard. And thank you that he chose to share and write about what he saw and heard. Encourage us by his words and encourage us to share our own stories of God incidents in our life to encourage others, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.